If you love all things gardening, why not join us at our Spring Fair from the 3rd to the 5th of May at Bewley in Hampshire? You'll find everything you need to kickstart the season. Find out more at bbcgardenersworldfair.com. See you there.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
With Capella University's FlexPath format, you can set your own deadlines, learn at your pace, and access most coursework from anywhere at any time. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, and welcome to the BBC Gardeners World magazine podcast, brought to you by the team here at the magazine. Join us as we chat all things gardening with the nation's favourite experts.
Would you like to start prioritising gardening for well-being? Today on the podcast, we're chatting to someone who did just that. Social media celebrity Joe Sugg began posting videos on YouTube as something to do with his friends as a teenager in rural Wiltshire. Now his channel has over 7 million subscribers. Here he shares how he became addicted to scrolling social media and how stepping away from the digital world and the screen and into the garden is now a big part of his daily routine. From the flowers popping up to the birds and pollinators visiting, Joe tells us how tending to and maintaining his garden takes him to a place of mental calm, which is really good for him. I started by asking him how he made the transition from social media star to writing a book about gardening for wellness.
Initially, growing up, I always thought I was going to be going right back to the start, I wanted to be an archaeologist. I was always interested in fossils and things like this. But after school, I decided to become a roof thatcher. So the goal was to become a master roof thatcher. I was an apprentice to my uncle and he taught me everything I needed to know. But then as a hobby on the side came along YouTube. So I started doing that on weekends and it just sort of grew and grew. And this is going back about 10 years ago now. So it was very new in the space. And it just seemed to have taken off and it completely sort of took over my life and it became what I did, I guess, on a professional level, even though it didn't feel like that because it started off as just, you know, a hobby and recording videos with your mates kind of thing. And it just took off. And then from there, it became my full-time career for the last sort of 10 years. And I still do it now. I still am very much sort of in the space. But I think I moved to house about 2 years ago now. It was during the third lockdown. And growing up in the countryside, I've always loved the countryside. There has been times, obviously, growing up being a teenager where you sort of think, oh, this is kind of frustrating because all my friends are in the town and I live in the middle of nowhere. I moved to London for about eight or 9 years. But I always knew that I'd end up back in the countryside and having an outdoor space. I grew up very fortunate that we did have a lovely garden, and my mum and dad were both keen gardeners, as well as my grandparents. So it's passed down through the generations, and I feel like it's that time. I love being out in my garden, and the amount of stuff I've learned just in the space of a year or a year and a half even from living here has just been incredible, and it's something that I absolutely love.
So it's clear you love being outdoors, whether on the paddleboard or hiking or in the woods, and particularly out in the garden. So what is it that draws you to the garden?
I think every time I go out there's something new to see. The amount of times, even this year, I mean, my garden is very wild. I've gone with a wild approach. I'm just letting everything grow. I think because we've just moved in there, we've got plans for the future, but at the moment it's all about just sort of working out what grows in the garden naturally and what does really well in certain areas, learning where the light comes across. So, and I think it takes time to sort of get used to that. I think every time I go out in the garden, there's something new to see. There's always new, unusual flowers popping up or different things. So, And I've started growing vegetables as well. And I'm always out there now checking on those, checking when my tomatoes are going to start turning red from green and see which ones have grown and how big the cucumbers are getting and things like that. So there's always something new. And I think even going out in the evening or early morning to water the garden, for me, it's a very therapeutic time. It's a time where my mind is not going to so many other different places and thinking of different things of, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, or I've got to remember to do this. I feel like when I'm out in the garden, your mind, and a lot of people have also said this, that your mind just goes just the task on hand of tending to what you're trying to grow or what vegetables you're trying to grow, or just maintaining the garden and thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice to put this flower in next year, or try this or try that, which I think is really, really good for me.
So do you love to kind of plan your borders and, okay, I've got a spot there, maybe it'd be nice to do this, you know, next year, or I've spotted that out and about one day and I must get some seeds for that variety?
Definitely. I mean, even this morning I was out checking, just going to see, I wanted to see, actually see, because I watered the garden last night, or yesterday evening, and I wanted to check if the soil was still a bit damp, just to make sure, you know, I don't have to water it again today, because I'm out and about today. And there's one flower that I really love, which I never noticed in the garden last year, but this year had loads of it, was Granny's Bonnet, which I think is not the obviously the proper Latin term, but it's what I call it. I noticed that they came out in flower earlier on in the year, but now I've noticed that the seed pods are just full of these little tiny black seeds. So I spent the morning just like emptying all this out into my hands and just spreading them around, being like, I hope, I mean, I've not checked, but I hope that by spreading them around other places, we're going to get more next year and things like that. But it's just little things like that I absolutely love.
So can you kind of just drill down a little bit now into, you know, what do you grow?
For me, I mean, in the future, we are going to plan to, over the years, I want to obviously build my dream garden. So, but which will include a lot of those things. At the moment, we have just sort of let it be mainly wild. Although this year I did, there's a sort of sunken part of the garden where before it used to be, I think was like rose beds or something. There was a circular, there's a little patio area and there's a circular flower bed in the middle. And I used to think, is that a well? My mind was going everywhere. Was it a fountain? Was it this? Was it that? And I think it was a flower bed because there's other ones as well. So I thought this year my job is to, because it's quite, our garden I think is just around about an acre. So it's quite a lot. And everyone that comes around, they go, oh, you've got a lot of work on your hands. And I'm like, I know, but it's going to be a work in progress.
That's exciting.
We'll take our time with it. And, you know, over the time, you don't want to get anything done all in one go, I think. I think it's something with a garden, I think there's always something that you can add and improve to it and change later on and things like that, and things you can work towards. But yeah, my main job for this year was to sort of maintain this little area, this little old sort of patio area with all these flower beds in. So at the start of the year, I started sort of getting the soil ready, and then I decided to plant a lot of wildflowers. So I bought this, you can just get like packets of wildflower mix. And I think especially like learning about how important it is to have insects in the garden. And obviously that attracts more birds and pollinators and things like that. And they do different types of wildflower for certain things. So there's ones for pollinators, there's one for birds, there's one for this and that and the other. So I got a load of those and thought, right, this is easy because it's a good starting point. I can just sow all this seed down and just make sure I water it, and then and just see what comes up. And I always think, I think especially after going to Chelsea Flower Show this year, a lot of the gardens there looked, there's so many like wildflower sort of, I feel like it,
that everything's year rewilded.
Sort of,
yeah.
Yeah, it got a lot more, it's a lot more wild, and it sort of, it looked achievable. And sometimes you go there and there's so many gardens you think, oh, that'd be amazing if I had unlimited budget and had, you know, and had this, like, I guess, like the space and the time and things like that. But I feel like a lot of the gardens this year was sort of, there were so many ideas I took from it of thinking that this, we could do something like this. And my garden's on a slope as well. It's a sloping garden. So that's another challenge that I've got to try and work out, because what I've learned with a sloped garden is you're either at the top of the garden or the bottom of the garden. You don't really spend much time on a slope. So we're going to look at ways. I love the slope because it just gives you such a lovely view of the garden and things like that. So I think the ideal thing would be to, I love the wildflowers. So I think definitely include a lot of wildflowers still in there. I would love to get a greenhouse and to also have like a little tiny spot for dedicated for growing vegetables as well. Because I love the idea of being able to walk down to the bottom of the garden or wherever and just pick your, maybe not the bottom of the garden, because that'd be, I think over time I've decided that actually that's quite a long way to go, to go up and down that hill.
Are you growing things in containers to kind of tide you over this year?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of the stuff is in, and it's funny because like when I post any gardening stuff on my social media, the amount of people that go, you've got this massive garden, why are you putting everything in pots and containers? Like, this needs more space, and you've got all this space. And it's because obviously, you know, in the future, we're going to, it seems a shame to plant something if we're going to have to move it later on down the line. I don't want to sort of do that. So at the moment, I think especially as, you know, I am still quite new to taking gardening seriously. So it's all a learning curve, and it's all things that I'm learning every day. And I think especially when you mix gardening with social media, everyone's got an opinion, and everyone has their way of doing it, and which may be great and may work for them in their area with their soil and things like that. But it's different for every single person. You know, everyone has different methods, and a lot of the stuff I've learned has been passed down through my family as well. So I think everyone has that kind of ownership of like, this is how my family's been doing it for, you know, generations. So this is definitely the right way, but that may be the case for them, but not for everyone. So it's at the moment, I'm just sort of testing the waters, trying out different things, taking my time. A lot of stuff is in containers and pots and things, just because I think in the future I might have to move it, and I'd hate to be there and be like, oh, I've got to dig this up and potentially damage the roots in trying to move it and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, a lot of vegetables really love containers and being in containers, and well, certainly obviously plants. And I love the power of containers as well. You know, you can have them up on a tabletop so that your eye line, you can move them around the patio, you can have trees in containers. I have a lot of trees, and you know, it's like you say, it's kind of actually there, they can be quite powerful. And if you live in one part of the country versus the other, the climate can be very, very different. So, you know, you're right. So,
well, I bought an apple tree for my girlfriend Diane for Valentine's Day last February. And everyone was saying like, you won't get apples on it, 'cause you need to plant two next to each other so they can cross pollinate and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I thought we put it in the ground anyway, just to sort of see how it does. And even then I was like, oh, thing is though, if we need to move it in the future, it's going to be a bit of an issue. But I thought I would just do it because the chance I won't get apples anywhere, according to the internet. And lo and behold, this year we've had loads of apples on this tiny little apple tree, and it's actually produced apples. So we were super happy about that. So now I'm like, oh no, if I ever need to move this apple tree, it's gonna break my heart having to take it out the ground to move it. So I'm hoping that it's gonna it's going to stay there. We're going to design the garden around the apple tree, I feel like.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Yeah.
So in your book, Grow, you share your experience of stepping away from the digital world and realizing that you were addicted to scrolling social media. And now stepping away from the screen and prioritizing gardening for well-being is a big part of your routine. So how do you harness the power of the garden when you feel the balance is a bit off?
If I feel the balance is off, it's like I know it as well, and as much as I don't want to admit it, and you sort of tell yourself no, but you have to sort of be quite strict with yourself, and for me anyway, this is what works for me. So I use the garden as this. I think especially where I am, there's always something that can be done in the garden. There's always a job to be done or things to check or things like that. So I use that as my kind of downtime, relaxation, leave the phone inside. I don't need, although like sometimes I use my phone a lot of the time for answering questions that I have about the garden. So I'll be like, oh, what's this flower, or what's this that's come up in the garden, or how do I know when to move this from this size pot to another size pot, or how to propagate this. So my first instinct is to go to my phone to find out, which I do still do quite a lot, but it's just learning like how to find that balance between just a bit of trial and error yourself and find out what works. But it's definitely used the space to usually leave the phone inside and just get lost in the garden and try and work out sort of what to do and how to get the most out of it. I've got into the habit now of writing down like jobs for the weekend. I now have a jobs for the weekend list. And so I try and make my way through that. And then you realize when you're out there that landscaping and gardening takes a lot longer than you think. And it's a lot of effort that needs to go into it. And, you know, once you've had your tea breaks and stuff like that, half the day's gone and you've not even finished the first task yet. So I'm in the stage now where I'm a bit too optimistic about how much I can achieve in the garden. So I'm trying to like retain it all in a bit and be like, right, okay, don't set yourself too much because you'll get overwhelmed. Just do like one or two things. Focus on that first. And, you know, in the time that goes by, you'll eventually get there. But it's definitely a work in progress. And even learning about timings and stuff, like when certain things come into flower and then they go out of, then they, you know, they're sort of finished by the time something else comes up. And it's, so I'm now starting to think, okay, right. So that flowers from this time till this time. So now I need to try and pair that with something else. Do you know what I mean? So you've got to try and work out some, I'm just about starting to get to that level of gardening where I'm starting to think, okay, right, now I know what the life cycle is of this plant. That will go well with this, and what self seeds and things like that. So I don't have to worry about replanting it next year and all that kind of stuff.
So what's the first job or task you do when you get out there?
The first thing I would do is I make myself a cup of tea and I go out on the decking and check my vegetables and fruit at the moment. So that's the first thing. And because it's kind of like, it may sound a bit silly, but like it's that kind of, it's a very, very small element of that feeling on Christmas Day when you rush downstairs to see what presents you've got from Father Christmas. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing of like, oh, I wonder if my beans have grown a bit more today and things like that. And so it's that kind of,
there's a new flower.
Yeah, it's that little excitement of knowing like if anything has sort of taken off overnight, or when that moment is that you discover that there's an, you know, the tomatoes have started to grow or things like that. So that's the first thing I'll do is go out and check on my sort of vegetables and things like that. And I just sort of have a pot around the garden. I always just do like a lap around the garden and just sort of see what's different. And whilst I drink my cup of tea in the morning and just have a look around. I tell you what though, digging the flower beds and sort of doing like getting soil ready is quite a mission. We've got a rose. We've got a rose this year. And I've now sort of got to that level where if I'm going on a walk, I'll take a plastic bag with me just in case we find some horse poo on the road. Cause I'm like, I think, cause I learned from my granddad that horse poo, horse manure is good for the roses. He used to stop the car if he saw any, and he'd pull over and put it in the boot. So I was like, do you know what? I'm gonna take up that tradition. As much as my girlfriend probably wouldn't like that on a walk and think that I'm a bit unusual, I think it's good for the roses.
Did you ask anyone for help? Did you start following lots of gardening channels? Did you just dive in? How did you kind of tackle it?
I definitely started. I followed a lot of gardening. I asked my mum an awful lot. The thing is, I couldn't really ask anyone. There was no one really my own age that is that into it, I guess. Like all my friends sort of took the mickey out of me a little bit in terms of like, you know, what do you mean you're into gardening now all of a sudden? Like you've only turned 30. They still see it as like something you do when you're older, like a lot older. And I was like, but you don't understand like how good it is for me, how much I enjoy it. And I think especially when you've got like a space that you want to work on, and you know, for me it's a really good thing that separates, that's different to what I usually do, and I get a lot of joy from it. So I'm fully sticking with it, and I'm like, no, I don't care what you say. It's not for, you know, it's for anyone of any age can get into gardening, and there's so much to learn and enjoy from it. And I think that's something that I want to sort of get, like something that I talk about a lot in the book and try to get across, is that, you know, I'm by no means an expert on gardening, far from it. I'm actually still in the learning phase of it, but it's something that has really helped me in terms of like mental health and sort of taking on a new hobby, a new interest. It's a massive community of people that you can learn from. So that's something that I want to sort of get out there, and also sort of hopefully tap into the younger generation and get them sort of ahead of the time, and sort of get them into it sort of early, as a kind of, you know, as a kind of thank me later thing, get into it whilst you're young and whilst you can. So, but I spoke to my mum an awful lot for tips, and my nan and people like that. But I think a lot of, you know, there is a lot of like garden design companies, and you know, a lot of these people are now on social media, and a lot of gardeners. Obviously, I watch a lot of Monty Don stuff, as does everybody. You know, I always watch what Monty does. Carol Klein, yeah, I saw her at Chelsea, and it was kind of like, 'cause I've watched her on TV all the time, and I saw her, and I was too scared to go over and say hello, but I want to be like, oh, I watch you on telly. I was like, I'm so used to like being the other end of it, where, you know, from YouTube and from the online world, you know, young people coming up to me being like, we've watched you, you know, throughout our life and things like that. But then it's like the roles were reversed, and then I was going to, you know, a different industry altogether, and being like the fan, being like, oh, I love watching your gardening program and things like that.
Gardening, so yeah, watch
a lot. Yeah, and there's a lot of other people on Instagram and places like that that do a lot of amazing gardening content. And Pollyanna Wilkinson, she was also at Chelsea. I followed her from the early days of getting into it, and she's amazing, because she does almost like weekend reminders each week. So it's like, here's reminders to cut this back, or do this, or do that, and do this. And I follow it religiously, so I'm like, thank you. But I did get to see her at Chelsea, and the garden she did was incredible as well. But yeah, she's really nice. I would love to be able to learn how to take cuttings and grow my own and become a bit more self-sufficient. As much as I love garden centers, you know, I want to be able to learn to do it myself. But the amount, I've become a bit of like an avocado tree grower. Like my whole house is full of jars with avocado pips with cocktail sticks stuck in the side, and the roots slowly grow out of it, and then you end up getting a tree. The chances of actually growing an avocado from it is quite slim, from what I've heard and what I've read. But I'm determined to, because they look beautiful anyway, just as indoor plants. It takes a while, and you've got to change the water every day, but it becomes part of like your routine. And I think that's something that with the job that I've had for the last 10 years, and especially when sort of like you're your own boss and things like that, it's hard sometimes to keep in a routine sometimes. I think especially the nature of what I had done on social media for the last 10 years, it was very much like every day is different. Whereas like this routine of like every Monday, I'll check my house plants and water them and make sure they have what they need. And implementing that into my routine, and especially the outdoor stuff as well, the garden, has helped massively in terms of just everything across the board. And for me personally, has made me feel a lot better having that sort of bit more structure and routine to looking after something. I mean, I don't have kids. I've never really had any pets. So for me, it's kind of like, it's a nice intro into like looking after something other than myself as well, which I quite like. And it becomes so social. Like whenever someone comes around and they ask you, you know, oh, what's this? How did you grow this? I want that in my garden. And you can sort of, it's so good for the social side as well, in terms of like comparing what you've got and, you know, taking cuttings from other people's things to grow in your own garden. But sorry, going back to your question, my sister's boyfriend, he's got a little allotment as well. a little vegetable patch in his garden. So I went around and helped him prepare it all and get it ready for this year. I was doing a lot of the heavy lifting, I think, because we had to take all the old vegetables out and just dig it and sort of re-cultivate it, get it ready for this year. But when I was digging it all up, I was finding loads of potatoes, and I was like, I would never ask him paid anyway, but I was like, just being cheeky, like, oh, you can pay me in potatoes for this. So I ended up taking a bucket of potatoes home from his house, and I actually planted them in the ground, and I planted some in potato grow bags, and I planted the rest and the ones that I got from him in the ground, and those ones are actually doing so much better than the ones that I did actually get from a garden. I got some like first potatoes from a garden centre earlier on in the year, but these ones that I got from Alfie's garden, they're flowering already. Like they're doing, I know I'm going to get like a good return on that, but it's just fun. It's just fun to sort of take vegetables and stuff like that. And just once again, like trial and error, see what works. And it is it's a process, isn't it? You can't really go into growing vegetables or growing a garden and expect it to be exactly how you want it straight away. First time. I feel like that's not what gardening's about, in a way, you know.
What else do you do to bring wildlife into the garden?
I've got my bird feeders. I think for me, I think my garden is pretty open. Like it is in terms of like, because it sort of backs onto fields as well. And so there is like a hole at the bottom into the field. So like we've had deer walk into the garden, which would explain why some of my apples were missing from the apple tree this morning. I'm pretty sure.
Little flower head's gone.
On the lower branches, yeah, all the apples have disappeared. I was like, oh, Diane, you should come and see all the apples that we've got. And then there were hardly any left. I was like, ah, okay, something's come and eaten all the apples. So I think it would be a deer.
The Muntjac deer have come in and nibbled it.
I think it was, yeah. But yeah, we've got a little pond, a tiny little pond, but I definitely have plans in the future to have a bigger pond. My goal, I think, especially because I used to be a roof thatcher, at somewhere in the garden there's got to be a little summer house or a little pond house even that's thatched, like overlooking the pond. That's something I've had in my mind from day one, is that I love the idea of, because we grew up with a pond in our family garden as well, and had sort of goldfish, newts, frogs, all that kind of stuff, which we absolutely loved. And, you know, dragonflies, things like that you get, damselflies. So at some point we're definitely going to expand and have a bigger pond, hopefully a little thatched pond house, but we'll see.
Same way as in the morning you go out and you're checking the soil and watering, do you just, you know, sit there and take in the nature? Is it a real kind of mental and well-being element part of that as well for you?
For me, just hearing the different birds in the morning, like we've got a woodpecker that comes to our garden, and I haven't seen a woodpecker since I was a kid, because obviously from being away for like in the city for so long, so it was nice to sort of and even like seeing rabbits and squirrels, like seeing a squirrel in the garden, we were like, oh my word, squirrels! Like we got so excited. I was like, it's so weird because that's where I grew up, so used to that, and it's like I kind of forgot it in a sense for that time of my life, and to sort of come back to it. And I think as I'm getting older, I'm appreciating it even more and more. I don't appreciate the fact that squirrels steal all the birds' nuts all the time, that bird feed, even though I do have a bird feeder that is designed to make squirrels not be able to get the nut, but they're clever. They find a way of shaking it to get the seed out. But I definitely, even this morning, just sort of sat out there watching the squirrels, you know, climb the trees and the rabbits and the birds and all that kind of stuff. It's, you do sort of take it all in, and it does give you that sense of like grounding and mindfulness and that kind of, I feel like it's sort of whatever you feel like you're sort of going through and how big your like things are going on around you, there is a sense of like being in nature and just watching it all unfold, and there's something quite special about that. And I think it for me, it definitely helps. It definitely helps me.
There's a part in your book where you talk about kind of easy ways for outdoor styling without breaking the bank.
For me, on a budget, boot sales are the one, I think. I love going to a boot sale and finding, like, for me, boot sales always been a big part of my childhood as well. Like, most of the stuff that me and my sister had growing up were from boot sales. So, and when I go there, the thing that I'm looking for is, can I pot a plant in that? I'm looking for like pots that like best place to pick up cheap plant pots, and even things that necessarily wouldn't be a plant pot, but you can turn into it. I'm a big fan of like upcycling and like getting a use out of something that wouldn't normally be used for that thing. So like these old galvanized watering cans, you know, you can pick them up from a boot sale for a couple of pounds sometimes, and they make beautiful, like old school sort of planters and things like that. So that's always a good tip. And also like the amount of like secondhand gardening tools that you find at a boot sale as well. Like I said, with the propagating, that's a big winner, I think. If you can learn how to do it, and it, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. But if you can learn to be patient and learn for each individual like type of plant, if what it likes and how it works, that's going to always give you, you know, you don't really need to go out and keep buying more stuff. You can learn how to get things from the stuff you've already got. And same with like compost heaps. If you've got the space and you can do it, definitely make your own compost. I think even for like urban spaces, and like if you've not got too much space, there's still a lot you can do, like with the vertical gardening and things like that, of like growing up climbers, things like that, that actually just give like your space a bit more something to it.
Thinking about spaces, like you said, if you're with vertical gardening, if you the amount of different things you can have climbing and fruits growing up, and often we do sort of just look at our eye line, don't we? And if you sort of, you know, definitely always look up and think, well, I can utilize this space.
Yeah, when I was in London, I had like a little space off my lounge, and it was a small little terrace, but I was very lucky. I managed to get some garden furniture that fit sort of half of it perfectly, and I had some like pontoon lighting going across, which really in the evening really sort of brought it to life. And I bought olive trees because it was south facing and it got so much light. I was like, these would be perfect for this condition. And it was, they really sort of took off there. And I used to actually I was so proud that I actually even managed to grow olives. I grew olives on Wandsworth roundabout in the sun. Yeah, in the sun. I managed to actually grow olives. They didn't taste very nice at all. I think you're probably supposed to prepare them beforehand, but I thought, I've grown it myself, I've got to try it.
So you've seen social media trends come and go. You were one of the original YouTubers turning video creation into a business, and gardening has exploded in a big way on TikTok, YouTube and Insta. So what do you think the future of gardening looks like?
Ooh, I think the future of gardening, I think people will become a lot more self-sufficient, I think. I think because you can grow, even if you haven't got a lot of space, you can still grow vegetables. You know, they have bags where you can actually grow tomatoes out of a bag. Do you know what I mean? So it's so doable. I think that we will become a lot more self-sufficient. I think especially like the last couple of years we've had, where it's been very hard to, like with like supply chain issues and things, a lot of backlog and waiting for things. And also as we learn more about nutrition and things like that, I think the idea of growing your own fruit and vegetables, I hope will become more of a thing. I really hope it does. I think even if you're not really that into it, people that along your road or who do, normally I see all the time around here, like people grow vegetables and they always grow too much. They've always got too much. So they're giving it away basically at the end of their driveway, or like, you know, super cheap, or money to charity and things like that. It is such a great community that I've sort of discovered through gardening. And it, like I said, the social side of it is really, really good. And I hope that sort of continues. And I really do hope that the younger generation take to it, and also and they get involved and sort of appreciate it as well. But yeah, I predict that we'll all be eating our own fruit and veg from the gardens.
Thanks for listening to the BBC Gardeners World Magazine podcast. So if you've enjoyed this episode, please tell others about it and rate us in your podcast provider app. And we'll see you next time.